How do you build a high-performance team? That's the question that all leaders grapple with. The challenge in today's environment is that you're told to pull this off on a shoestring budget and that you have to exceed previous year's production. It's an impossible task. Here's how this show helps. Every week, we're going to feature executive and senior leaders from HR, IT, and sales, and they're going to share their best practices and playbooks so you can empower your managers to build great teams. We are Engaging Leadership, and now, here's the show. Thanks for joining us today. This is your friendly neighborhood town strategy nerd, Dr. Jim. When we think about building a mission-driven culture, we typically envision that being applicable to white-collar environments, right? Why don't we typically think about this in a blue-collar setting? At some level, are we admitting that we look at hourly workers as lesser than compared to our salaried employees? What if we got rid of that mindset and took a total health approach to our entire workforce, and especially our hourly employees? What impact would that make? I know a lot of folks will hear these questions and think that making that pivot is too expensive and not feasible given the churn that typically occurs at the hourly employee level. Got a newsflash for you. When each instance of turnover can cost up to 250% of your annual salary and replacement costs, can organizations and leaders afford to maintain the status quo? These are all critical questions that we're going to look at today. And it's a good thing that we have our featured guest, Samantha Coker, joining us to help answer those questions. So what's Samantha's story? She's a leader in human resources management with over 17 years of experience in the construction, field services, and professional services sectors. She has a passion for delivering values and results to business, providing opportunities and resources for employees to live a better life and leading a team of accomplished and talented HR professionals. Prior to joining Apache Industrial Holdings as the Chief Human Resources Officer, Samantha held senior HR leadership roles within both domestic and international responsibilities. She holds a bachelor's degree in psychology from LSGAUX Tigers, I think, and a master's degree in psychology from Southeastern Louisiana University. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. We're happy to be here.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to this conversation on a lot of different levels, and particularly the fact that we are going to be taking a lens that is decidedly focused on the hourly employee in this conversation, because I think that's a conversation that doesn't happen too often. So I'm looking forward to digging into that. So before we actually drive into that part of the conversation, there's only so much about your background that I can get out in three sentences. So I think it's important for you to connect with the listeners some of the key moments in your career that you feel are going to form the conversation that we're going to have.
Sure. I started in HR right out of grad school. And the idea was, how do I apply this psychology education to business? Very passionate about business and the construction industry in particular. And so HR was a natural fit. And I think what I latched onto very early on, thanks to some great mentors, was the importance in what we do in the overall business. So getting our folks out to work in the field safely and quickly, and then keeping them happy and healthy and safe once they get there, that was the overall mission. And I learned so much along the way of how to do that in the right way, how to engage employees in the right way, how to support leadership in the right way, so you have a thriving workforce. So whether that was domestically here in the U.S. or figuring out how to do that, sending folks overseas, there were many challenges along the way, but the mission remained the same the whole time. And so as I grew into leadership roles in my career, finding team members that were really passionate about delivering that became my mission, because that's how we serve the company. That's how we ultimately serve our employees that are out sometimes in remote or dangerous job sites doing work to make the company successful. So that's always been the mission. And now I'm fortunate to have the leadership position that I do with a fantastic executive leadership team where we can take some great ideas and figure out, again, how do we make this industry great, and how do we make this company a great place to work for our talented construction professionals? Because if you pay attention to the news, it's a tough workforce, and we're having challenges attracting people to this workforce. So we really need to go all out and show that it's a fantastic career And it's a great way to grow and provide for your family and have a really long, successful life.
I want to dig into a couple of areas that you mentioned in your answer that caught my attention. You came into HR from a psychology background, and then you've been typically in industries that have a heavy field component to it. And you mentioned in your answer an element of living a good life. And that's one of the missions that drew you into your current role. The thing that I'm wondering about is when we think about field employees, we can often think about their life circumstances almost in survival mode. So how did your psychology background help you bridge the gap and meet some of those basic needs from an employee perspective that helped you move the needle on some of those higher value things like mission and service and all of those sort of things?
Fundamentally, we're all the same. We all want to win. We all want to have a good life, provide a good life for our families, and know that the work we do matters. Regardless of if you're an entry-level helper in the field or you're out running a job site at a high level or even operationally running an entire region, the goal is the same. So it's about connecting with each employee on an individual basis and helping them to understand that what they do matters. And we care that you show up to work in good condition and you go home safely so that you can live a good, healthy life, so that you can provide for your family, so that you can grow and develop and train to become whatever it is you may want to be in this industry. Those opportunities are there. So understanding that regardless of position, we're all human and we all want to win and be part of the team and be part of the success was really fundamental for me.
It's an interesting perspective that you brought out in your answer. I think one of the things that I'm really curious about is, how did that philosophy get rooted into your background? Because it's unusual within corporate America where we're putting that level of equal footing on hourly employees. Oftentimes we've seen and heard of a lot of organizations that kind of have this perspective that hourly employees are merely cogs in the wheel. What is the origin that kind of had that worldview embedded in you and how that carried forward in the different roles that you've had?
So this goes deep for me. I grew up in a family that worked in construction. So my dad was a construction executive for many years, and many of my family members did everything from welders to safety techs to secretary, administrative type positions, and ran the gamut. So from a very young age, and I'm from a very small town in South Louisiana where a lot of people work in construction, and that's how, again, how they provide for their families. So I can remember on many occasions at night or on a weekend when the doorbell would ring and it would be someone asking my dad if he could help them go to work. And he would give them an address or a phone number to call, and he'd say, I'll give you a chance, but you need to show up. You need to be able to pass a drug test. And you need to work hard. So that was implanted in my brain that give people a chance, give them a foot in the door, and miracles can really happen. It's what they choose to do with it, but giving them that opportunity is the starting point. So that was the example that I had. And then fast forward in my career, our current CEO at Apache and I worked together at a previous company, and he also came up through the trades. Same thing. He's now the CEO of a billion-dollar company, has an MBA from Rice University, but he started as an apprentice in the field. So he understands the value of a chance and connecting the dots and really working hard and working toward a goal. But someone has to give you that opportunity. So that's it for me, is recognizing those examples and knowing that there are many more people like that out there, like my father, like my uncle, my brother, my current boss, that have made very successful careers in this business in the right way.
The interesting aspect about your answer is that you have the benefit of perspective from your upbringing that kind of shaped your employee philosophy and your employee strategy. And then you have the added advantage of a CEO that actually gets that too, because he came from the same world. I guess one of the things that I'm wondering is if that's not common as far as I can tell. So if you're an HR leader who gets it like you do, and you want to connect the dots to the executive suite or the CEO who doesn't come from that world, what are some of the things that those leaders, those HR leaders, need to arm themselves with to make the case that this is the approach that should be applied in an environment that's dealing with a heavy field population?
So great question. And I'll share a story about our current CEO that I think is pretty funny. But yes, he understands the path to success in construction because he has lived it. His belief in HR and how valuable that is to an organization took a little bit of time. So we started working together several years ago and we hit it off. We had a good working relationship. But I distinctly remember a conversation one day where he said, "What are you going to do with your career? Where do you want to go next?" And I thought, "I like what I do. And I think I'm pretty good at HR." And he was like, "I think there's something else. Like you can't possibly want to do this as your career." And I thought, why would you say that? And it occurred to me that his view of HR is antiquated, very red tape, policy driven. So I said to him, I was like, "Let's give me a chance. And I think we can change this because I view myself as a business person that happens to work in HR rather than an HR person working in the business." And so pretty much since that time, we've grown and done a lot of great things together because of the way that we view people matters, if you will. It's not just about red tape. Yes, you need those policies in place and you need compliance, but it's translate the voice of the employees, how you engage your employees, how you treat people on a day-to-day basis, and really make that work for the company rather than the other way around. So that's been the journey there, is being a business-minded person working in HR versus an HR person trying to fit into the business.
When I opened the show, we talked about how important it is when it comes to building mission-driven cultures. But I also noted that sort of conversation is typically reserved for white-collar environments. So when you look at that perception, how did your career trajectory and progression set that on its ear? How did you shift that? And how did that lead to building some great organizations in your experience as an HR leader?
We talk a lot about employee engagement as an HR profession. What does that mean and how do you really do it? Engaged employees understand the mission. Engaged employees want to win. They understand how their position, their role, what they do day in and day out contributes to a winning project, a winning team, you know, a successful, thriving business. So to me, that is really fundamental and really basic. But having the understanding of, you know, what are we here to do? If it's to deliver a project or delight a client or whatever it may be, helping each person understand how they fit into that picture just really breeds success. And then, oh, by the way, if along the way you're helping people to develop their skills and to grow as professionals, grow as people, even better. You're providing that environment that people want to work in. You're developing leaders that people want to work with, and success breeds success. So creating that environment at every level has been really important. The other thing, it's a safety-sensitive culture, safety-sensitive industry, obviously. So creating a culture where everyone has a voice is absolutely imperative. If someone feels like they don't have the right to speak up, it really could be a matter of life and death. If they don't feel like they're empowered to call out a safety-sensitive situation or say something doesn't look right. So we go the extra mile, certainly here at Apache, to make sure people know they matter and their voice matters and we want to hear from you. So those are two different perspectives on it.
Wow. It's been a great conversation so far. Make sure you join the HR Impact community, where we gather a community of HR leaders just like you. This is a space where top people leaders share actionable insights and practical playbooks. Sign up today as a member for the community. Get updates on the latest HR resources and exclusive event invites. You can join the community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. And now, back to the show. One of the things that you mentioned was that you put an emphasis in developing leaders, and that sounds great in theory. In practice, especially in a hybrid environment or in a field versus corporate environment, when you're looking at issues of employee churn, employee engagement, all of those sort of things that's won or lost at the line manager level. So tell me a little bit about how you actually brought that to life at the manager level and made sure that your line managers and your frontline leaders are equipped and supported in a way that puts them in the best position to engage and retain their employees.
One thing that we did last year that's really made a huge impact is looking at taking on employee retention from a total human health standpoint. So we all know life is stressful. We certainly in the construction industry, it's a very, very intense environment at many times. So we partnered with a company called Headversity that puts resilience and focus and overall mental health training in the palm of the hands of our employees, and also provides some tools to our supervisors to have really good conversations, to check in on our employees and say, okay, is this person's head in the game today? Are they in the right frame of mind to do some pretty sensitive or dangerous work? So having that partnership, opening up the conversation, just simply having the conversation has been really enlightening to our leaders, certainly to us as a leadership team, and watching this unfold. So our employees, again, have access to different tools and resources in the palm of their hand on their phone. Their families can access it. And then from the supervisor perspective, we're saying, okay, we're seeing whatever trends are going on in the field or in the industry. Here are some topics of discussion to get a conversation going with your teams out in the field of what's really going on, what's driving this, how we can look out for each other even better. And so what that does is it has our employees looking out for each other, and it shows a different level of care and concern and a different level of conversation that's being had to say, we want to take care of each other. We want to make sure you have all the tools to do it.
So it's interesting that you used a technology component to drive this forward. I think the area that I'm wondering about is when you're in a field environment, how much time do leaders actually have to mess around with an app and have those just in time or in the moment conversations? Because I can understand what you're saying, how that would work in a corporate setting. Mm-hmm. I'm not connecting how you actually manage that change management process and built that habit in a field environment. So tell us a little bit more about how that worked.
What we've done is created toolbox talks. So I think every construction company out there uses those. And a lot of them are focused on physical safety and different hazards. But we've gotten a regular cadence of, here are some things from the mental health side, again, the focus side and resilient side that we can talk about. So we went ahead and put that in the hands of the supervisors, just like we would a regular physically focused safety moment. So they had topics there that they could use as conversation starters, just as they would anything else. And then other training to say, here's some things to listen for or look out for if you hear this or see these behaviors. So they had a little bit of an extra level of training. As far as the employees, you're right, they shouldn't be on their phones during the day, but they can. I've had multiple people tell me, hey, I was really nervous about this activity I was going to do or this meeting or something like that at the field level. So I took 5 minutes. They're really short exercises. I took 5 minutes to do a focus exercise and it calmed me down or something like that. So it puts them in a good frame of mind to where they can use it before working hours and just get their head in the game, or after hours to decompress. And at the same time, they can also share it with their family members, kids going through things, teenagers, those kinds of things. We've had multiple employees share that these things helped, or simply having the conversation and knowing it's okay for me to raise my hand if I need something has been really beneficial.
One of the interesting things about what you said, I'm immediately going back to the naysayers in the audience that might be hearing this and saying, that all sounds great, but is it even worth it? I don't really see what the impact would be in terms of bottom line impact. Wouldn't our resources be better served looking higher up in the organization or just being focused on optimizing our corporate environment? When you hear that, how do you respond, react, and what's been the impact that you've seen through these things that you've put into place?
We've had multiple employees come to us and say, just having this conversation has been incredibly valuable. From a business perspective, our clients want to know, what are we doing to keep our people safe? What are we doing to keep everyone's head in the game in these very sensitive environments? Construction is one of the highest professions with incident rates of suicide. So that's going to the extreme. There's a lot of stuff that happens in someone's life before they get there. So our goal is to set people up for success, peel away as much stress as possible, teach people how to tone down their own stressful situations themselves. Absolutely, it's money well spent. It's time well spent in helping people to, again, peel away those levels of stress that don't need to be there. We have enough to deal with on a day-to-day basis that we have to deal with. So if there's something you can do that helps you stay calm, stay present, keep your head in the game, it's invaluable. Certainly at the professional level, that's available as well. From an environmental perspective, it's very stressful when you're working in 100-degree heat in a chemical facility draped in head-to-toe PPE. So anything we can do to make that better, we're going to do it.
So how have you seen all of these different things that you've put into place show up in bottom line issues? Like, what have you seen from an employee turnover and retention perspective? What have you seen from maybe even a employer brand perspective? Tell us a little bit more about how that shows up from a business perspective, because I'm thinking about that CEO or COO who doesn't come from this world, who's hearing the argument that there should be this level of investment focused on the hourly staff and the field staff. And they're going to be like, why would I do that? So tell us a little bit more about how this has actually showed up in terms of bottom line impact.
We have a lot of churn in our business because we work on projects, right? So sometimes we hire the same person two or three times in a year, but I think we're at 55% of our hires are rehires. People want, if given the opportunity, people want to come back to work for us because, one, they know we care. In this industry, safety is absolutely paramount. So knowing that you have a company that's going to stand behind people, give them a voice and give them tools to make sure that they are absolutely as safe as they can be is invaluable to us. If we don't have the people to put on our jobs, then we don't have a business. So from a bottom line impact, that's, you know, far and away the most impactful side of things. And like I shared earlier, our customers want to know how we're doing things differently. And this really is a game changer for us and something that we plan to continue doing, you know, for the foreseeable future, for sure.
So I want to dig in a little bit more on the rehire metric that you talked about. So you're in a project-driven environment, 55%, I think was the percentage that you mentioned, of your employees are rehires or redeployments. How did that show up in meaningful ways in terms of the impact on your TA teams?
Oh, the time and money saved, you know, for a rehire that we already know that's already in our system, has gone through all the checks, is massive. So that churn is greatly decreased and the stress on the system. Because again, the workforce it's a challenging one in terms of availability. There's study after study on that. So that's huge. The other thing is we're rehiring people that we know to work for leaders that they know. So those teams come together so much faster and hit the ground running. They already know our processes, our procedures, and they're able to make an impact much faster, which ultimately leads to greater success for us.
So that's a really good call out. And I think one of the things that I draw from what you said is that the broader world of work has this complaint that nobody wants to work anymore. And that could be a whole nother show. And my response is often, is the issue that nobody wants to work anymore, or is the issue that nobody wants to work for you anymore? If you're not giving people a reason to actually show up to work, maybe that should be the problem that you're obsessing about versus having one of those get off my lawn, the kids these days type conversations. So real good stuff. I appreciate you lending your perspective into this. I think one of the things that we're going to probably struggle with is how do you put this into action? Because what we're talking about, especially when we're talking about field and skill trades and how you actually reallocate resources and set up the infrastructure, it's not common thinking, or at least the prevailing wisdom. So when you look at actually making this real, how should people leaders be looking at, what should they be doing to set up their environment to make this sort of shift?
So a couple things we've done that has been really valuable. First is leveraging your leaders that are out in the field. A lot of times we as HR professionals, we're a small but mighty team, so we're not out there on the ground on a day-to-day basis. So talking to your safety professionals and your project leaders that are really on the ground with the employees, and understanding what are the challenges, what are the struggles, and then translating that to, okay, what can we do about that realistically? What resources do we already have, or what would we need to get to address these problems or challenges, I should say. The other thing is HR loves to do surveys. So if you're doing that, make sure you're doing something with it. We've done a number of different surveys and polls here over the last year on everything from benefits to communication. Make sure you're prepared to take in that information, provide feedback, and do something with it. And then third, you already have benefits likely. So are you maximizing those to benefit your employees? I'll give an example. Financial health is very important, and that's an added stress to many people, especially these days with rising prices on everything. So we went to our 401k advisor and we said, hey, can you do some education on everything from basic budgeting for people that may be new to the industry or new to the workplace, all the way through some more senior level things for people that aren't novices? And he said, absolutely. No extra cost to that at all. We put together a learning series with resources that would resonate with folks that they could access after hours. They can ask questions. So really leveraging the resources that you have to connect with your employees and give them information, tools that they can use that they're interested in has been really important. And again, we get those thank you, this made a difference to my family messages, which is incredibly important to me in this seat.
Great stuff. Thanks for sharing that with us. If folks want to continue the conversation, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
On LinkedIn, Samantha Coker, Apache Industrial. Connect with me anytime.
Awesome stuff. So I appreciate you hanging out with us. So when I think about this conversation that we've had, one of the things that immediately come to mind is understanding that a lot of your hourly staff, whether they admit it or not, are probably in some level of survival mode. So you as a people leader in an organization that has a split between white collar staff and hourly and blue collar staff really need to recognize and accept that a big chunk of your employee population is probably in a completely different circumstance than you are. So if you're really looking at wanting to build a high-performance team, you need to look at your entire employee landscape and rethink how you view white-collar work versus skilled trades and hourly work. And that fundamental mind shift will lead you to making different decisions in terms of how you're supporting your entire workforce. I think one of the things that stands out in this conversation is that you were tuned in to what is going on at the front lines that is keeping the individuals out in the front lines from being their fully capable self. And not just simply taking that input, you actually put it into action in terms of resources that were allocated. You went the route of investing in an app-driven technology that would serve the mental health needs of the people on the front lines. And that's something that's unique, or at least I haven't seen too much of it in other conversations that we've had. So for those listeners who are listening to this conversation and asking yourself the question, how do I get my hourly and field teams to really connect with the mission that we're on? A lot of that ability to connect sits with you and how you show up and how you demonstrate that you care about what's going on in that individual's life. You can have all of the benefits and all of the talking points, but unless you as a leader are showing up in a way that demonstrates your care for that entire person, regardless of where they are in the organization, you're going to have problems in moving the needle. So I appreciate you hanging out with us and walking us through that process to help connect the dots. For those of you who have been listening to the conversation, we appreciate you hanging out. Make sure you leave us a review. Also, join our community. You can find that at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact, where you can find all of the different conversations that we've had. Tune in next time where we'll have another great leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build a high-performing team. Thanks for listening to this episode of Engaging Leadership. We hope you liked the conversation. Don't forget to continue supporting us by joining the HR Impact community. You can find our community at www.engagerocket.co/HR Impact. Tune in next time where we'll have another leader joining us and sharing with us the game-changing insights that help them build high-performing teams.